GAA on Off the Ball.
Now, welcome back. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. We have Tipperary against Kilkenny in an All-Ireland final. Once again, it's Brian Cody against Liam Sheedy. And here we are in 2019 to reflect on the most epic of rivalries of the 21st century in hurling anyway. Shane McGrath with us and Tommy Welch as well. You're there, lads?
Yeah, hello, Joel.
Tommy, we talked a couple of weeks ago when we had Sean O'Gahalpin on the line as well, and certainly there was a hatred almost between Kilkenny and Cork. What was the relationship like from your point of view between Kilkenny and Tip?
Well, you have to put that into perspective as well, Joel, regards hatred. Like, there's a hatred and then there's a, you know, sports rivalry. Like, there is a big difference, you know. And the difference, I suppose, between Kilkenny and Tipperary was the Kilkenny-Tipperary lads probably knew each other that bit better off the field. Going back to school, like Owen Kelly would have been in school with many of us inside in St. Kieran's College, and Shane himself would have been in college with, say, Conor O'Mahony and Jackie Turrell, and John O'Brien would have been in school in Ross Gray with a few Kilkenny lads. Paul Curran would have been very friendly with the lads below in WIT. So there was a lot of us in the Kilkenny-Tipperary panels that time, similar age, and knew each other off the field from school and from colleges. So from that point of view, like, we knew each other quite well, and that on the field then, obviously, that was obviously going to manifest into nobody wanting to give second best, you know. So I'd say off the field we just knew each other a lot better.
The rivalry we're talking about, so this kind of 09 to 14-15 territory, 16 games, including 5 All-Ireland finals. There was a semi-final. There were 3 league finals as well. Ultimately, it was Kilkenny domination, you would have to say. 12 wins to Tipperary's 3. Shane, when you kind of pitched up in the 09 final, at that stage there was an aura about Kilkenny. People had seen what they had done to the likes of Limerick and Waterford in All-Ireland finals. When you arrived in 09, did you arrive in anywhere fearful as a group, or did you think, we're at their level, we're coming for these guys?
Yeah, I don't think we were fearful. I think Liam would have been a major part of that, Joe, to be honest, because we were at a stage now where we had a group and we had a kind of management team and a setup that we could actually try and challenge these guys and put it up to them. And I suppose a big win for us was in the league in 08 down in Nolan Park, and we beat Kilkenny. And like, as we know, our record down in Nolan Park is atrocious, but that was a massive thing for us. That gave us a bit of a belief that, you know, maybe we can actually try and go toe-to-toe with these boys. And we lost out in a semi-final in 08 to Waterford. As a team, Waterford had they won it and they deserved it. But, you know, we were poor on the day, and, like, you know, everyone see the way the 08 final went. But in 09, you know, we were after winning 2 Munster finals, and we were after coming through, you know, fairly easy in both championships, and we knew that Kilkenny were the standard bearers. And when we got there in 09, we didn't fear them. And, like, to be honest, a lot of Tip people would say that 10 was a better final in 09. I wouldn't agree. I think actually 09 was a better final, a hurling final. I don't know if Tommy agree with that now or not. I thought it was unbelievable. I know 14 had all the scores, but 09 had everything. It was a complete final. It was crazy, like, what was going on around the middle of the field. The ball mightn't have passed the 2:45s for maybe a minute or so with the hooks and blocks and the intensity, but the hurling was there to back it up as well. And then 10 took life its own for us because of the hurt of 09. And then in 11, I think, correct me if I'm wrong now, I think 11 was the first time ever that you had the same two teams playing in the final 3 years in a row against each other. So, Joe, that'll tell you, you know, both teams at the height of their powers. And look, I was looking up to playing 5 finals, including one drawn one, and I have one medal. But, I mean, the ones I lost to without, I have no qualms in saying, the greatest hurling team ever. And if you're going to lose them, you may as well lose them to the best of the best. And that's what we did, but, you know, I mean, next Sunday, it's 3-2 to Kilkenny at the moment. It's been, we've had 6 finals in the last 10 years, so hopefully we'll try and make it 3-3. But yeah, it's going to be epic, whatever happens anyway.
That third final of 2011, it was the first time since 1903 that two teams had faced each other in 3 successive All-Ireland deciders. And, yeah, whilst Tipperary only have won, they're not diminished in any way by that. Like, this was such an epic rivalry, and the season for a couple of years there felt like a countdown to the next Tipperary Kilkenny All-Ireland final. What was your favourite final, Tommy? What did you think was the best game if you were to watch one back?
Yeah, and just an interesting one on that, even with them stats. Like, you could stats can favour anybody, I suppose, whatever way you want them to look. But I remember it coming out at one stage that overall them matches, and I'm not sure what year this stat came out, but I think Tipperary were actually leading Kilkenny by a point if you added all the scores and had aggregates. So that will tell you how close it was, even though Kilkenny won, many of those games. But the actual aggregate score, I think Tipperary were actually leading. What was my favourite final? I'd say it was 0-11. You always love the ones where you come back after such severe hurt.
Yeah.
2010 won then, like, we had been there for so long, and say you had your newspaper articles, your RT programmes, you had the All-Star nights, the All-Star tours, then you had the Christmas shows, and, you know, we would have been, I suppose, used to being on all of them as champions and just watching yourself, lifting that Lee McCarthy Cup. And 2010 then was difficult, because suddenly now you're watching your rivals, and, you know, at that time the rivalry would have been massive for our parents more so than ourselves, because we were only kind of starting off on that track. Like, our parents and grandparents, like, the rivalry was, you know, huge back in the 60s, and that's how far back they were able to remember, and that's how, because they didn't play a whole lot in the, I suppose, the 70s and 80s and the 90s, bar the 91 All-Ireland. So there was a huge rivalry, and then you're on the border. So we hadn't really experienced that, because we hadn't played each other that often. So for us, really, you know, it was after that hurt and seeing Tipperary on all these shows and lifting the cup and having a great time and on the late show and these things, that really started to, you know, you could feel it rising in your stomach, just that hurt and that hunger to get back and get going again. So I think definitely for us, after getting beaten in 2010, 11 was definitely one of our more special days.
Well, I remember the build-up to 11. People were saying, if Tip win this, that will be a bullet into this Kilkenny team. You know, that could be the end for a lot of these Kilkenny lads. 11 almost seemed to reinvigorate that team, Tommy. I'll ask you about that in a second. But of 2010, Shane, and I guess the fact that Sheedy's coming into another final here against Kilkenny, it's the bid to stop the five in a row, there's that, and there's also just the desire to win an All-Ireland for yourselves. What would Sheedy say about Kilkenny? Like, in terms of what might be going on this week, would he almost bait you in training and say, we have to stop these lads, everyone says these are better than you, they're not better than you? Would he talk them up? Would he talk them down? Would he ignore them? Would he try and make you hate them? Like, what was his approach to how you were to stop Kilkenny?
I suppose how we were to stop Kilkenny, Joe, was try and get performance out of ourselves first and foremost. And that's what Liam would always say. I mean, if you spend your time focusing on the opposition, you lose track of what you're about yourself as a team and as a group. I mean, as Tommy said, the hurt in 11 got them over the line. The hurt from 09 got us over the line in 10, I feel. And, you know, obviously Larry got the few goals and everything, and things went our way. But, you know, an interesting fact I heard recently, that Liam is trying to become the first manager to beat Cody 2 championship games in a row. So now I know there's 9 years between the two games, but it'd be a nice stat to have. But no, Liam will be totally focused on the boys and what they have to do.
And so would he not have sat in front of you and said, this is how Kilkenny go about their business, this is how we're going to stop them?
No, because Liam wouldn't be the man. He wouldn't be the man to tell us that. He'll leave that up to the coaches. He'll trust the senior players. He'll trust lads, you know, to look at things, and he'll trust his backroom team to have all that set up. Liam is the manager.
Okay.
And that's what Liam Sheedy does. He manages everybody from number one to, I think, whatever, 39 or 40, whatever amount of lads are in there at the moment. And every one of those lads want the same thing, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. And that's what Liam Sheedy does, no more so than Brian Cody. He gets the best out of every single person, from the goalkeeper down to the lad who will be doing the water bottles and who will be carrying the hurleys on Sunday. And that's what Liam Sheedy gets out of you. He gets the best of every single person.
So he wouldn't necessarily see himself as master tactician or, you know, biggest hurling brain in the room?
No, I don't think he would. What he does is he gets a great team around him, and Liam trusts his team. And it's all about the team. Like, I mean, you know, I think Brian is kind of an exception to the rule, and what he's done has been magnificent, with, you know, maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 even different groups of people, getting them constantly to semi-finals, finals, and being victorious. And for me, he's the greatest sports manager ever, is Brian Cody, what he's done. And I was lucky enough to be up at the semi-final, and just what he did, the way he set up the team and the intensity he got them to play at, he's just unbelievable. But Liam is the manager, and he's going around making sure everybody's okay, making sure that everybody is ready for the battle, and everybody is ready to give whatever it takes for the battle. And you know that when your card is put up and it's your time to come off, you get off that field, and the other guy coming on is ready to do the job and finish it off. And that's what Liam does. He gets the best of everyone. Tactically wise, you know, he will have some say, but he would leave a lot of that to, you know, to the Tommy Dunns, Darry Egan's, you know, to Eamon O'Shea to a lesser extent as well this year. And he trusts what they'll do, and the way they'll set up the lads will be the right way to try and win the game, John.
And will he say the final few words before you go out on the pitch? Is he big man for team talks?
He is, you know, I mean, I've had the pleasure of speaking with some great lads in dressing rooms down through the years. In Eisen College, Jackie Tyrrell and Fraggy Murphy were two great lads to talk. Owen Kelly in my time with Tip. But Liam Sheedy, whatever it is, he has something different every single day to say to you to get you going, be it about your family, where you're from, what it means to play for Tipperary. You know, he has always has something that will get the most out of you on the day. And I'm sure he'll have something ready for the boys come, you know, come 5 past 3 there on Sunday when the lads get ready to go for the warm-up. He'll have the final word, and those boys will be going out and they'll take the door off the hinges if they have to get out into that pitch. And that's what Liam does. He gets you ready for a battle.
Tell me, what is Brian Cody's approach in that regard? Does he tend to have the final few words at 3:10? What does he tend to focus on? What does he tend to say?
Yeah, well, his philosophy really isn't that. It's nearly the work is done. It's all about the preparation. The work is done by the time you get to the dressing room. So at that stage, it's just trying to keep a cool head and more kind of just be ready for when the ball is thrown in. All his motivation and all his work is done in the weeks leading up to the game. Like, say, I remember before 2011 final, Joe, Tipperary, I think that was the time they scored the 7 goals in the Munster final. And after being All-Ireland champions, they went up to play Dublin, the All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, they were at the height of their powers. And we played Water and we kind of stumbled over the line. You know, could have been beaten on the day by Water in our All-Ireland semi-final. And we had the next training session, I suppose, after Tipperary. And he never took it for granted. Like, he would wait until that team was in the All-Ireland final. For example, like, he wouldn't have spoken about Tipperary before to beat Dublin. It had to be after, when he knew for certain, because he never took that for granted. So once that was done and dusted, we knew we had Tipperary in the final. We were brought in. And the message was sent out to us crystal clear that had to up our training, we had to up our standards, up everything for the next probably 3 weeks to survive against this Tipperary team. Right. That was not blowing smoke up Tipperary or doing nothing of the sort, but that's the kind of form they were in at the time. And Shane was right about the 0-9 final. Tipperary were brilliant in that final, only for we had someone that was better, and that was PJ Ryan, our goalkeeper. Every shot they took, PJ Ryan was just brilliant. He saved absolutely everything with his feet, with his hands, everything. And from point blank, from out to 21, whether it was Lara Corbett, Jamie Callan, Owen Kelly, every one of them got a pop at. But we were lucky that he was on song that day, and a goalkeeper getting man the match in All-Ireland final. So if you take it, they performed against us in 0-9, 0-10. And this is the third kind of the trilogy, if you like. And his message to us for the 3 weeks, not the night before or the day of the match, 3 weeks before it, we have to train like demons just to survive against this Tipperary forward line. And that was his kind of philosophy. So on the day itself, Joe, different lads take it on. But like Shane will tell you there, I'm not sure your experience in GA dressing rooms, but most dressings are the same. It's work rate and... You know, you hate this lad, you hate that team. You know, we're all the same, really. You don't really mean a whole lot.
And we all love each other, Tommy.
Yeah. That's just the way dressing rooms work, like, you know. But what's said, really, is you just need to be ready for 3:30, really. Like, what's said in that dressing room doesn't... It's more the body language in the dressing room, we would say, Shane. More the feelings around the place, the energy levels, rather than what is said.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tommy, would you agree, you know, so 2011, it's amazing the difference between Kilkenny having won 5 in 6 years as opposed to Tipperary with 2 in a row and going for 3 in a row. Was 2011 very important for that team? Do you feel that could have prematurely ended that team, or would you have come back again?
Who knows, really? You'd imagine with the type of characters we did at the dressing room, you would have came back again and again, like, until you were told you were no longer required, really. Like, that's just the way it was.
Yeah. So you didn't frame it that way yourself.
Martin Joke and Martin Fogarty, I'd say it probably started in the first final in 0-9, where, you know, you'd be talking, you'd be kind of passing a bit of time in the Crown Plaza, or it could have been a few days before, I'm not sure. And you'd be just saying, listen, you pray to God like that. Just let us win this one. They can win the next few. Just give us this one and we'll be happy, you know.
Yeah.
But sure, then 0-10 came along. We said, oh, sure. We had to pray again last night. One more, sure. That's all we want. And it was still going on in 11, still going on in 12. And
It never ends.
It's just going back to you. Like, Tipperary, if that had beaten us, they would be the team. And it was the very same between us and Cork. And I'd say so many teams going back in history. Like, small things change, kind of change things, really. And we were just lucky enough, you know, that I suppose we won it.
a bit more than luck, I suppose. I asked Tommy at the outset, Shane, about the relationship Kilkenny had with Tipperary from their point of view, and he talked about lads mixing a bit more off the field and knowing each other growing up as well, and border counties and that kind of thing, as opposed to their relationship with Cork, which is, was a bit more fraught. Did you lads come to hate them in the end? Because, I mean, they're kind of stopping ye from being the dominant team across 5, 6, 7 years, and how many All-Irelands in the back pocket. What was the relationship from the Tipperary point of view? How did you talk about them?
One word, Joe, respect. Right. Would never, ever hate any little Kenny boys. Obviously, on the field, business had to be done. And as Tommy said at the outset there, I was in college with Jackie. I was lucky enough to win a couple of Fitzgibbon Cup medals with him and would have been very close to him in college. But
right.
I suppose we developed a rivalry and maybe our friendship suffered a little bit because of it, because we were such rivals. But, I mean, I swapped jerseys with Jackie after one of the matches, and I'll treasure that jersey forever, as, you know, it, be it a Kilkenny jersey or not. But there is nothing but huge respect amongst the teams. When they're on the field, yeah, it's absolute war. Mm. But when you cross back over the white lines, and Tommy will tell you this, there's a players' lounge where everyone goes after the All-Ireland final, and every year, win, lose, or draw in 14, the Kilkenny boys and the Tip boys would have a drink together or have a quick chat with each other. It don't have to be, you know, all lovey-dovey or all over each other, but there, you could sense there was nothing but respect
right.
between the two groups of players. That's what we had, and that's what we'll always have. That's what the lads will have after Sunday. They'll have nothing but height of respect for the TJ Reeds, the Richie Hogans, the Pádraig Walshes, all these guys. They'll have nothing but respect, and I'm sure the vice versa will be the same for the Shamie Callanans, the Brendan Mahers, the Paddy Mahers, all these guys. There's nothing but respect between Kilkenny and Tip boys, and that's all I'll ever have for them. Obviously, you want to beat them and you do whatever it takes to win. But, I mean, we got on very well, even off the field. If there was ever all-star trips or the all-star nights or anything like that, typically Kilkenny boys would always get on very, very well together, because I feel, you know, they both knew that two very, very good groups. And as I said already, the height of respect for each other there, John.
It's great, isn't it, that there was never that bitterness. It makes it even a kind of more brilliant rivalry in many ways. Some of the other kind of choice games which jump out, I mean, after 2011, there's the semi-final in 12, and that was the fourth consecutive year you were facing each other, and, you know, that was another day for Kilkenny. And then Nolan Park in the qualifiers in 2013, Tommy, I think everyone remembers this. That was in July, and, you know, Henry was kind of put on, laid on as a sub. Lars scored a brilliant goal as well. 23,000, the place absolutely, you know, stuffed full. I remember Jackie Tyrrell talking about going for a drive through the village in the afternoon just to soak up the atmosphere. That must be a memorable day for you.
Yeah, that was, it's probably tarnished a little bit, because when you go on and you never reach the All-Ireland, say if we had won the All-Ireland that year in 2013, I reckon that could have been one of our great days.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to look back then when you haven't went on and finished the job. But say, if you looked at the game in isolation, I've never witnessed even tension. I've never witnessed tension like it, because I think that time you didn't really go out that early. We probably weren't, both of us hadn't been in the back door so early. So to play each other, like, I'd say that was probably July. And to be gone out with a championship, like, neither of us probably would have been used to that.
Mm.
And you had that whole thing playing over. You had, like, going into the grounds, you couldn't get tickets. Then you could see lads, like, we had different lads at different kind of seats on the buses. We got a bus over from one of the local hotels, and you were spotting guys going into the games that, you know, you're saying, this is a big game, like, and, you know, Tipperary were coming, like, see, the doubt started to come into, that team, that Kilkenny team in 2012 after Galway beat us in the Leinster final.
Mm.
So, you know, is this team coming to the end of their tether? Are they starting to win? Are they starting to be finished? Will there be retirements? And I suppose 13 then, after getting beaten by Dublin up in Port Leash, it was kind of Tipperary are coming to finish it off on our home patch.
Yeah.
So that would have been our kind of angle at it. So obviously we would have been saying the opposite, you know, we're not going to let them finish us here in Nolan Park, and to our supporters, and we owe them that much. And it was really, really a pressure cooker, but one that we enjoyed, because I'm sure the lads were the same, because you just got used to it at that stage, so you just went out and hurled. But it was definitely one of the most intense games and intense build-ups that I've ever been part of. And, you know, and again, it's turned on a small thing. JJ Delaney, as he has done so many times, and you might see a clip came out on JJ during the week on YouTube from a Kilkenny guy, Morris Welsh, there, and it was absolutely, you know, you're wondering how good was this man, like JJ, but he got in this block on Owen Kelly and just dived across at the last minute. And if Owen had to score that at that particular time, it could have been game over, and Tipperary could have went on to win it. So it turned on small things like that. And I think that Lara Corbett go off injured that day in the first 20 minutes, which was definitely a big, you know, turning factor too, because Lara was, he was after scoring, I'd say, one or one two in that first couple of minutes and was really on fire. So, but as regards an occasion, it was one of the great days,
It was. I remember rushing home to watch it. You could feel the heat coming off the TV that day. What's your memory of a chain going into the Lions then?
Well, worst day of my life in a Tip jersey, and not just because we lost, but I tell you why. I'm from Ballinahinch, small place, and I was captain of Tipperary that day, and Ballinahinch might never have another captain of Tipperary, and that's with all due respect to every hurler from Ballinahinch. And I had the honour of being captain, and I just let everything get to me, to be honest, Joe. I let the pressure get to me, got taken off at half-time, and I just felt so bad in the second half looking on. And as Tommy said, Larry was our go-to man that day, and when the hammer went with him that day, you know, you don't like to say, you know, you look around, but you see the shoulders nearly drop, like, you know, a small bit like that, like, oh no, Larry's gone. And he was just going so well. And look, I never kind of experienced an atmosphere like it in a ground like Nolan Park. It was just unbelievable. Even when they were calling out the panel just to say that Mike Fenley and Shefflin were going to be involved, the roar that went up was just unbelievable, like, you know. So, you know, it was obviously very, 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 very disappointing for me on a personal level, and then for ourselves. And actually, look, it was just one of those days in sports. You moved on, and you had to dust yourself down and get over it. And, you know, thankfully, you know, we did, and we kind of bounced back in 14 and got back to the final. But it was, you know, it was a very, very tough few weeks after, to be honest, Joe.
So explain that to me a bit more then. Ballinahinch may never have a captain again. It's a small place. This is your chance to lift the trophy for Tipperary and for Ballinahinch, a historic kind of thing. It's not an opportunity that comes around very often. When did you start letting that get to you? Was it the week of the match? Was it just that morning? Like, were you drained when you pitched up at Nolan Park? Because it wouldn't be like you to be getting taken off at half-time.
No, like, I think it was when, you know, when the game began, maybe, and things are, it was just so helter-skelter. It was like, you know, all the typical games, ourselves, Kilkenny, first few minutes tactics kind of go out the window, and it's just hooking and blocking intensity, and I just never got to the pitch of the game.
Right.
There was balls dropping in front of me, and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, it was probably a mental block, to be honest, Joe. When I'm a bit older now, I can look back and say that's what it was. Mentally, I wasn't right for the game, and I put way too much pressure on myself as captain. I spoke about this already before, and the captaincy thing just didn't suit me, you know. Came back the following year then and hurled really, really well and got an All-Star. And I was, on a personal level, I was delighted with that. It was a bit of redemption, because I tell you, when you don't hurl well as captain of Tipperary or as captain of Kilkenny, I'd say Tommy would agree maybe, you have to take a lot of slack personally, you know. And, you know, to come back the following year and play well, it was great kind of personal redemption. But as I said, like Ballinahinch, we probably will never have a captain of Tipperary again. We're an intermediate club. We've 500 people in the parish. I'm lucky enough to be principal in the local primary school, so maybe in 20 years' time, back us for the club there. So we'll try and follow the template down in Ballyhale and what they're doing or something. But look, just one of those things. But look, I'd have to say, Joe, always a great honour to even be selected as captain of Tipperary, and always something I'll treasure for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but I think people understand it comes with its own pressures as well. I didn't want to go straight for this, right? By the way, I guess you'd probably even guess what I'm going to mention, because along, you know, Henry's penalty, a few other big moments, the 2012 semi-final, Lara Corbett, Tommy Welch, Jackie Tyrrell, and I'm not sure who the fourth was, having their own private meeting. Who was it, Tommy? Sorry,
Pat Bourke.
Having their own private meeting in the corner of the pitch. It's actually, it's unbecoming of what brilliant hurling we saw over those years, that's one of the more memorable things. But, like, I'm sure you get asked about it all the time. Shane, I have it, like, you hear different things. I have it, like some Tipperary players went out not knowing this was going to happen.
Yeah, I tell you, Joe, look, I mean, the scoreline was embarrassing anyway, first of all. I think it was 4-24 to 1-15, I think,
the
game.
The second half was 3-15 to 5 points in the second half.
And look, you know, I mean, that day, like, and I tell you this, Larry had to take a lot of slack after that, you know, and we should have stepped up as a group, like, you know, and we should have all taken that on. But I suppose just the way it was portrayed in the media, you know, I mean, this, like, Larry felt this was maybe the right thing to do, like, you know, and... Yeah, like that, you know, Tommy was Tommy was one of the greats, like, you know, and if you could stop Tommy, you're kind of maybe halfway there, but then you try and stop JJ, then you try and stop Brian Hogan, then you try and stop Shefflin, then you try and stop Owen Larkin. It was just crazy. Everywhere you tried to try and stop someone. You know, they'd let nearly lads in the stand to try and stop them just in case they roared into something. So, but look, I mean, I felt it was totally unfair on Larry, like, that he nearly single-handedly got the blame that day when the rest of us around the field, you know, we just didn't stand up and win our own personal battles.
Yes.
I mean, people got carried away because a couple of balls went down to Larry, and, you know, Jackie was following him, and then Larry was following Tommy, and the boys came out with the balls. You know, maybe if Larry had won one or two of those balls, things would be different. But, I mean, the rest of us should have stepped up that day too. And, you know, in fairness to Pat, like, I thought Pat had one of his better games that day. A bit of space got created by kind of the mayhem that was going on with Larry. But, I mean, that was a team, we just capitulated in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, it was embarrassing coming out of Croke Park that day. But look, we were all at fault that day, not just Larry. Every single one of us that took to the field that day, and we were at fault for that loss. Like,
I think everybody would agree with that. And that's, you know, you don't lose 3-15 to 5 points because of one player ever in the second half. You kind of beautifully and subtly dodge my question about whether you knew Larry was going to do it.
look, I tell you what, right? You don't know what Larry Carver's going to do any day of the week, right? Larry could get up on Friday and convince you to Saturday. That's Larry, like, you know what I mean? He's just unreal, and he's just, you know, he goes down as one of the all-time greats for Tip hurling anyway, and he doesn't know anything to Tip what he done through the years for them. So whether Larry was doing that or not, I don't actually know, really, right. And I don't think we'll ever know. So.
I won't ask you a third time. I think we can leave it there. Tommy, what was your memory of it all when you realised what was going on? I'm sure you and Jackie are trying to figure out what the best plan is.
Yeah, well, so I got a yellow card after about 2 minutes. So,
did you? Right.
Jackie was very worried then that I'd be gone, and I was probably lucky enough that he was there kind of telling me to calm down and calm down, because, you know, one simple mistake, you're gone then at that stage, like, you know. So
did it throw you, Tommy?
It's not that it threw me, but I just loved getting on the ball, right? But if it had been actually me wits about me and thinking about the team, you'd say this is working out perfectly, because, you know, if you were man-marking their best forwards, sure, this is a great thing that they're out of the game.
Yeah.
So if you know, if I actually had any wits about me, I'd say this is working out perfectly. But at the time, you know, you're saying, geez, I can't get into the game. I need to get into this game quick and get on the ball. So that was, you know, that was where my mind was. Now, there was, when, you know, often you're asked, like, what was going on, what was being said. There was absolutely zilch being said, bar Jackie saying calm down and just, you know, relax and take it easy, you know. Mm. That was the only words that was being spoken for the entire 70 minutes. So, listen, I can understand, like, what happened, Joe, like, on paper, if you didn't think too much about it. So, like, I I've spoken about it before, like, the Lar, like, it all goes from past experiences, and basically Jackie followed Lar. Lar's game was running onto a ball as opposed to standing, ball coming in, and both he tussling for it. Lar's game had turned into where he runs onto the breaks, used his fitness, used his speed, and then, you know, the space that Eamon O'Shea, I suppose, was trying to create was there for Lar to score at will. And he had great finals in 0-9. He had an unbelievable final in 0-10. So this is the third final to produce his best. This is after that, because Jackie obviously followed him everywhere.
Yeah.
So he just, I don't think it was even about myself. It was more, Jackie was going to mark Lar, he felt, out of it. So he said, I might as well take one of the Kilkenny players out of it. And it could have been me, it could have been Jage, it could have been anyone. But I suppose he picked myself. And what I think where it fell down really is that, I can't remember exactly who the Tipperary forwards were, but as far as I can see, is they were the two main scoring forwards, was Lar and Pa Burke. So if you had someone like, we'll say, Bonner and Buggy O'Mara maybe doing that job, well, then suddenly it starts maybe making sense, because they do the donkey walk, the dogget, and next minute the ball flips out to your scoring forwards. We often hear Dublin talking about their scoring forward. It goes out to Lar and Pabork, and they put the ball over the bar. But they're probably two scoring forwards out of the game. So that's why probably maybe if you thought about it a little bit more, you'd say, no, it's going to be hard for it to work, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, it doesn't really define this amazing rivalry where some of the best hurling we ever saw played happened over so many occasions. You know, geez, we're talking 09 through to 15, kind of 16 different games. I want to get your thoughts before you go on what's going to happen this weekend. Shane, why were they such good games? Do you have any theory as to why, what it was about the matchups that just worked in those games and produced these thrilling games? And I presume even on the pitch, even for a millisecond, you must have thought at certain points, you know, across the years, geez, we're having another classic here, you know, and then back in the game. You must have even known they were amazing games.
I remember even, like in all the games in the finals, I suppose, I remember after 5 minutes looking up the clock and it's like, oh my God, there's only 5 minutes gone. I'm absolutely wrecked here. You know, just trying to get around, getting on ball, get hooks and blocks in, and how do you keep that intensity up? But I think what it was, Joe, and for me, is that you had two really, really good groups of players who were at the peak of their powers meeting each other. All right, and like they were both performing on the biggest day, and that's what it is like. You know, they could have easily been drab finals if we just didn't perform. But I think both sets of groups had such characters inside them and such people involved with them in backroom teams that they just performed at the highest level when it mattered most.
Yeah, the occasion didn't get to players character.
That's what it seemed. The occasion didn't get to these teams or these players, and like that's what. That's the bonus for the crowd. I mean, as a neutral looking on, it must have been unbelievable. I obviously, as a typical Kenny person, our heart's in our mouth from minute one to 73. But I mean, that's for me is why the games were so unbelievable, is that you had two sets of players, peak of their powers, going at it each other, final or not, didn't faze them. Didn't matter how many people were or weren't at the games. They were still unbelievable games. I mean, the league finals we played against each other were some of the best hurling games ever as well. You just don't get the same coverage because they weren't on the biggest day of all, I suppose. But, I mean, that's what it was for me. Nobody was fazed by the occasion, and they just brought their A game when it really, really mattered most. And I think that's what you're going to get again on Sunday. You have two sets of players. Both teams will feel, yeah, 100% we can win this game. And that's what's going to happen. And I think you have both sets of players going to bring their A game on Sunday. And I think we're going to get another classic on Sunday. You have characters on both sides who love the big occasion. You have players on both sides who are going to go down in hurling history as some of the greats. And, you know, as I said already, it's in the last 10 years we've played each other. This will be our sixth time in 10 years. 3-2 to Kilkenny. Hopefully we can make it 3-3. And then we can say, look, we're not too bad. Maybe we're fairly even here. But I just can't wait for Sunday. The build-up has been brilliant. The feeling around Tip, I mean, after the Wexford game. To be honest, Joe, the Wexford game, all Ireland's aside and everything, was one of the best days Tip had in Croke Park in a long time. Just the way they came back, the way they won the game, and the lift that's after giving everyone around the county, the under-20s going well. And the buzz is great. And it's great to see, you know, great to see all the colour around the place. And the weekend is just going to be absolutely magical again for the players involved, and I just can't wait to get up to Croke Park there Sunday and watch it all unfold.
No, it should be amazing. In a not dissimilar way to Cody, I guess Sheedy does manage to put a bit of steel into these teams. Like, the comeback was all about steel, and like his reaction at the full time whistle was hilarious. I mean, I literally thought he was going to explode there for about 10 seconds, you know, fist pumping. And there was another angle on Twitter and social media where like he'd been dunted, almost knocked over, but like he put some lad on his arse and he's the manager.
You do well to knock over Sheedy. You know, he's got that lower center of gravity, like Messi. Yeah. You know, you do well. But so that's Liam. You know, he's emotional. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But like I tell you, he was the most composed man at that final whistle in Croke Park against Wexford today. Because I tell you, we were in the crowd. I was wearing a blue T-shirt. I had sweat stains all over. I didn't poke one ball. But I just tell you, we were just after living every moment of the game through him, like, and through the team. But that's Liam. Like, you know, you look out to the sideline, you see a character like Liam. You know, he's willing to do whatever it takes to win the game, and you're going to do the same. And Kilkenny have the same, and Brian Cody. And you know, that's the way it's going to be. Those two managers, they just trust their players once they go past the white line that they're going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Like,
people said maybe the semi-final could have been arguably Cody's finest hour, Tommy. I mean, geez, if he gets this done on Sunday, then without doubt it's his greatest season, his greatest achievement. I don't think even you at the start of the season saw them being in this position. What do you expect on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I don't agree with that, Joe, at all, because, it's kind of... Kilkenny, I know they weren't the favourites at the start of the year, right? But I said it, and you often hear Cody saying it, like, Cody still has geniuses on that team.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back to Shane asking what made that rivalry between that Kilkenny team and that Tipperary so great and so epic, and why did everyone follow it and love it, even though they played each other so often? Because there were so many geniuses on the field, especially in the forward units. Like, back then you had Kelly, Owen Kelly, you had Callanan, Lara Corbin, Noel McGrath. Like, they will be spoken about for 100 decades. To come. On the Kenny side, you're Shefflin, Larkin, Power, Eddie Brennan, these guys. All geniuses. You said it then about Sheedy. He puts a bit of steel into teams. Well, them two teams, whether it's steel or passion, there was something there that was coming from the heart. So your teams with geniuses plus steel or passion, whatever you want to call it, that just brings itself into an epic game, and that all comes together. You go to this Kilkenny team, what you're after asking me about, look at the Kilkenny forward unit. Like, you have TJ Reid, you have Adrian Mullen, club hurler of the year, Colin Fenley in the form of his life, kind of unmarkable on the club scene at the moment, say, both in Kilkenny and, say, on the county stage. Austin scores 3 and 4 goals. Richie Hogan, Walter Welsh, like you're talking about brilliant, brilliant players. These aren't just ordinary players that Brian Cody and his management team are after getting to an All-Ireland.
No, I accept that, Tommy, but where would you put them in terms of raw talent if you were, you know, like, in, would they be third, fourth, fifth in, as a group in terms of raw talent across the country?
No, I wouldn't. And especially forwards. I put them up there. I think Tipperary have the best forwards in the game.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they're going to win Sunday, but I do think that they're naturally the best kind of forwards that can make the ball talk. But I would put Kilkenny second as regards guys that can make the ball talk, and just brilliant, brilliant players. And that's why I give them a great chance from the start of the year. Now, I didn't listen, they were definitely going to be underdogs against Cork, they were definitely underdogs against Limerick, you know, as regards, I suppose, where the whole team was at from 1 to 15.
Yeah.
But going into this final, it's going to be a 50-50 match if ever there was one. Now, the only thing is, Joe, I hope they learn from the 16 final that, like, we'll go back to the 14 finals, the one Shane was involved in there. The first game, Kilkenny gave Tipperary too much space, and the score, I think Tipperary scored 128 or
they did,
or
128,
and they were just awesome. Like, you know, I think Larrick scored 4 or 5 from play, Bubbles scored a couple from play, Callan scored a couple of goals, so, like, it was just a shootout, really. Now, you don't want, that's a lottery. And only for our lads, you know, TJ and a few of them are so good that day for Kilkenny, I think we got 3 goals that drew the match for us.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be getting into a shootout with this Tipperary team. So they still have them genius forwards. And you add Jason Ford now to the mix. So I think for Kilkenny to have any chance Sunday, it needs to be like the Limerick game, like the Cork game, second half, where it's kind of, you know, space is hard to come by. You can't let Eamon O'Shea create the space that he loves.
Mm.
And bring it into a kind of a warfare combat. I think that will suit Kilkenny towards a shootout. I think will suit probably Tipperary.
Right. Final word to you, Shane, Sunday.
Yeah, can't wait for it. I'm a little bit worried in that Tip are slight favourites there at the moment, I see. And the last time Tip were slight favourites against Kilkenny beat them in 2011. So that's obviously going to drive on Kilkenny. But I think we're in a great place. I think what we found out after the Wexford game is that we have 5-6 guys to come in and they're going to make a difference. They're full of confidence. And I really do believe that we're going to do it Sunday. I think the matchups are going to be brilliant. Are we going to see Walter Walsh marking Barrett? Will Barrett get a chance on Mullen maybe? Will Brendan go out and mark TJ because he's done such a good man marking job and everyone else? And what's going to happen at the other end of the field in with Shamey Callanan? Is he going to be allowed that space? Absolutely he's not. So I can't wait. The battles all over the field are going to be unreal. But I just think we're coming into it in a great place and a lot of confidence. And I think we're just going to share it, Joe. Please, God.
Okay, fellas. Well, listen, we'll preview it, I'm sure, a bit more later in the week. But it was good to go down memory lane for a moment. So Shane McGrath, Tommy Welch, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Tommy. GAA on Off the Ball.